I recently had an opportunity to be a guest on the Tamara Scott Show with Tamara Scott on Lindell TV. Tamara is the national committee woman for the Republican Party of Iowa, and she invited me on to talk about a so-called conversion therapy ban that a city in my county is considering. We talk about some of the key aspects of this debate, and it's a pretty exciting interview, so let's get into it right now.
This is Cutting Edge Faith. Cutting Edge Faith. The show that brings you the truth behind the headlines and equips you to live out your faith in the cultural chaos of today. God is on the move right now through people just like you. You were created for influence and impact. Let's take your faith to the next level. Learn more at RyanSHoward.com. And now, here's your host, Dr. Ryan S. Howard.
Today we're going to talk about some cities here in Iowa who are trying to subvert, in my opinion, the law or the legislative intent. And so joining me today is Ryan Howard. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on the Tamara Scott Show.
Hi, Tamara. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
I've been a guest on your show, and now I'm thrilled to have you as a guest on mine.
That's right. It's great to be here.
Do you want to tell our viewers very quickly how they can follow Ryan Howard?
Sure. Yep. My podcast is called Cutting Edge Faith, and that's on all the podcast apps, also on YouTube as well. And you can go to RyanSHoward.com and you can find out everything I'm doing there and get signed up as well to stay in touch with me and also get in touch with me if you'd like to.
Ryan was one who hosted the show where John Strathman and I talk about the convention of states, term limits, balanced budget amendment. And I think it's just one of the most pleasant interviews for me to listen to, even though I'm the guest. It was flowing. It was fun. And it was a lot of good information in a quick amount of time. That's hard to do on Convention of State. So it's a great podcast. I think I just posted it on the Tamara Scott Facebook page once again for those of you who want to go there and get it. All right, Ryan, what is happening? You are from Black Hawk County. Cedar Falls, Waterloo are the larger cities in that county. What's going on there?
Yeah, so we have the city council here in Waterloo, Iowa, is working to pass an ordinance that would, what they say, ban conversion therapy. And so they brought that up a couple months ago, and they decided to wait until after the legislative session was over. They brought it up again this week, and now they're going to be pushing it towards some adjustments. And then in a couple weeks, they'll be bringing it up again. And it's very likely going to be passed through this so-called ban on conversion therapy with only one council member that's indicating that they'll vote against it. So that's what's going on. It's an uprising trying to intimidate everybody here, but many people are not standing for it, and they're making their voices heard.
So when we talk conversion therapy, just so our viewers are clear, what this is usually pertaining to is that basically, unless you toe the line and affirm confusion for a child, a minor, unless you affirm and promote the idea of changing a sex, unless you affirm or promote the idea of a child changing their name, going by a different identity, unless you affirm or promote the idea of a sex change, which we know you cannot do, you cannot change the sex, you may destroy a body trying, you may mutilate a body, healthy body parts. And so is that what this is about? Parents would not have the right to seek help for a child who's saying, I want to have a mastectomy because I think I'm a boy?
That's right. And there are actually already things that are over this in the mental health counseling area. But what they're trying to do is intimidate parents and counselors and everybody to not be able to support with talk therapy. And they're conflating this idea of conversion therapy by conflating it with other things that are maybe practices that aren't even used. And so, but we see that the real conversion is happening by the immediate unquestioning affirmation when a child indicates any sort of confusion about their gender. And so this is attempting to intimidate and show that that's not the way, that parents don't have a right to get counseling for their kids when they need it the most.
And so I think, did you say shock therapy? Is that the term you used, shock therapy?
Well, that's one of the things that they try and conflate what they're calling conversion therapy is. But what they're really trying to do is ban talk therapy, which is a free speech issue, and between a patient and the doctor or counselor. And so what they're doing is being arbitrary and conflating these two things, that these practices that aren't even used anymore, with actual practices that are helpful for children today. And so then they're trying to ban those as well.
So let's clarify for our viewers, this happens so often. This is how bad legislation is passed. This is how good legislators get swept into passing bad legislation. They take one bit, one headline, one scary thought, one scary idea, and they paste it over a broad topic that it really has nothing to do with. All right, so shock therapy is used today. We call it ECT, electroconvulsive therapy. And I was on air warning against this back before 2005 or 6. I know from the studio I was in. We were talking with specialists then about the dangers of this. Shock, it was electroconvulsive therapy. You have seen movie stars and entertaining Hollywood folks talk about it on late night TV and how much better they felt and how much more relaxed they felt. The truth is, we could talk to Dr. Bragan about it sometime. It's an extremely dangerous idea that basically what others call somewhat of a lobotomy electronically. You're killing off portions of the brain after a while. So it's not that it's not used. It is used. It's celebrated by Hollywood in other circumstances, but it's barbaric and should never be done on minors. Ever, never. And it's frightening enough that adults will opt for it and then realize later what they've done when they are now facing disability, can't hold on a conversation, can't drive. So this is a dangerous idea. But you're right, Ryan, they are conflating this and confusing the public on purpose, in my opinion, to get everybody to sign opposing or to be in opposition to conversion therapy. And this has nothing to do with conversion therapy. To my knowledge, it's never been used wide scale in this area, maybe once or twice. But that's an issue with a doctor. That's never an issue with any pastor or any group that I know that is wanting to help kids who are confused about their gender, experiencing questioning in their about their identity or their sexual origin. So again, we see that being heavily promoted through the public schools, the gender, the confusion, the questioning. We know what we call rapid onset gender dysphoria wasn't an issue 20, 30 years ago. So we now have to wonder why. And it has to be coming through the education system, through the entertainment industry. But the idea of conversion therapy, to ban conversion therapy over something that's not even really part of it, unless it's a isolated case, an anomaly. This is what they're doing, folks. They fool you with it and use the fear factor to get good people who would otherwise oppose what they're proposing to now go along with it. Okay, so this is a city. This is a city council that's doing this, Ryan.
Yeah, that's right. They're clearly stepping outside their jurisdiction in dealing with this matter, and you know it's become pretty evident. I mean, as you just said, a lot of these things, or as you indicated, these are already banned for minors under certain practices under the mental health licensing boards. And so there's really no value in doing any of this other than what they're really trying to do is not ban practices. They're trying to ban values. That's what this is really about. And so they're stepping outside their bounds, showing where they really lie and where they're at. And it's either a virtue signaling or perhaps a political posturing for a next step in someone's career that they want to take. And so, you know, they're way out of bounds here. We've already seen up to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that this has been shot down because it's a free speech issue. Those are ordinances that were passed in Boca Raton and West Palm Beach in Florida. And so, like I said, we see what's really happening here. The citizens of this community know that that's the case. The people of Iowa know that that's the case. And we got to make sure that we make our voices heard and that people are not confused and are not intimidated by this, because some people may not know the full story. And that's why we're talking about this. That's why it's so critical. It's why I've done podcasts about it. It's why I've went and spoke at the city council meetings and encouraging others to do that as well, to make sure that people know the truth, because it's very easy to be confused. But fortunately, many people are waking up and speaking up and so and sharing and making sure others are also coming along there as well. So we're not going to let these values be banned, these traditional family values and actually helping children with what they need. This is fraudulently and deceivingly marketed as a step to enhance youth mental health protection, and it is actually quite the opposite by platforming these ridiculous practices of what really is a conversion of for pushing kids to go one path after they show any indication at all and going towards spending hundreds of thousands of dollars over a lifetime on drugs and surgeries.
Absolutely. As one of the pediatricians on this show said, we're creating lifelong patients. Lifelong patients who will look in the mirror and be just destroyed over what they see. Many of them will face incontinence. The working body functions will no longer work as they were. They've taken and removed or destroyed healthy bodies to replace them with body parts that will not serve them. And so then we see suicide rates go up and so much more. And so, again, what we're once made clear is these bans, when they say conversion therapy ban, a pastor wouldn't be able to talk about what the Word of God says. A parent wouldn't be able to speak into the life of their child. You would leave a child at odds with their Creator, the God who designed them with a plan and a purpose. He tells each of us with a plan and a purpose, created them the sex that he did, ordained at conception for the role that he had for them to fulfill. And when you start manipulating and contradicting and conflicting with that, you put your child in conflict for the rest of their life. And these conversion bans would stop parents, pastors, or teachers, or anyone else from being able to stop and just talk to a child, to hear them out, to listen to them, because if it doesn't seem like it's affirming or promoting, it's considered conversion therapy. All right, and so a couple of the reasons I wanted to bring this up. Okay, and I'll come back to this, because I have promoted cities. We had sanctuary cities on the Second Amendment, and we were thrilled about that. No matter what a state did or the federal government did, if a city was going to stand on the Constitution, we were thrilled about that. And I said to Ryan today, I don't want to seem like I'm contradicting or hypocritical. And we both agree, one is constitutional, upholding the Constitution. The other is anti-constitutional, absolutely anti-constitutional. Ryan, you go ahead and enter anything you want to put in there, and then I'm going to give some facts and figures as to why, again, this is so ridiculously dangerous of a city, but they're overstepping their bounds. Go ahead with something, anything you want to add.
Yeah, I think what's incredible is they have to use emotional manipulation and emotional blackmail in order to get this to go through. They'll tell parents, well, ask them whether they want a dead daughter or and a live son, things like that, to where they're saying that the suicide, the kid's going to kill themselves if they don't get help. Well, the facts are that actually it doesn't help suicide. In fact, long term, it makes it worse. In fact, and over, I think it's over 42% or so that actually attempt suicide, and the numbers are astronomical, and it's very sad. And a lot of what's going on here is a comorbidity of multiple mental things going on that kids just need help with. And there's a social contagion, and I say fraudulent, because they're led to believe that this is going to be the point of relief that they finally want, that they finally get, and it comes back empty. In fact, it makes things worse. And so there's no evidence to show that affirmation helps any of those factors whatsoever. And so 80 to 95% of children who have this confusion, after puberty, they have no confusion. It just disappears. And so that is what we need to be going. That's the direction we need to be going. Is it's not this, they're pretending like we can just pause puberty and pause development, but that doesn't happen. It's impossible to do that. There's no evidence to support that. And so what's so critical here is to see what's really going on. And you can even see the money behind this. I mentioned the hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we see where funding for the FDA comes and new drug approvals and all of that. And well, we start to see really quickly the unraveling of this story that they're trying to tell. And we see how quickly, too, with just 5 hours of therapy, we see hormone injections being prescribed. And we see things like Lupron, which is used to chemically castrate sex offenders, also being prescribed to supposedly pause puberty and pause development, which is just absolutely absurd. And I'm sure there are many detransitioners that we can find now that are telling the truth, and they're showing the fruit of what has come to this. And it hasn't helped them. And like you mentioned, it has permanently altered their body, that it has very damaging and life-lasting consequences. So we really need to stand up. We really need to be clear and stop playing defense on this. We need to be clear on offense what the truth is about this, and we need to stand strong for our children because they are our future, and we cannot leave them behind. You know, the Bible tells us it'd be better to have a millstone tied around your neck and be thrown into the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. And as a parent and as a community member, as someone who knows the Bible well, someone who cares about conservative values, we need to be standing up for those who are the most vulnerable, and that's the children in our society.
Thank you. Very well said, Ryan. And you mentioned the Lupron. And again, if these kids are left alone, no hormones, no puberty blockers, most of them will work through this on their own and feel quite comfortable in their ordained sex, the ordained by their creator. And the Lupron, you mentioned that side effects. We were talking about this years ago. And of course, now they're trying to say it's fake news, but it's used off brand. And as you've heard experts on this show tell you, it doesn't just slow the hormonal or the puberty. It slows the brain development, the muscle development, the bone development. We now have kids with brittle bones. We now have kids with, let me just do a quick search here. Kids with heart attacks, strokes, sudden death. Gee, that sounds like the same side effects as some of these supposed injections that were forced upon kids in many instances in the last couple of years as well, right? So there's, and Ryan also mentioned those who are detransitioning. We say returning back to their birth sex or their ordained sex at conception because they've been around long enough to see the trouble. Laura Perry is a wonderful testimony. She says, I couldn't figure out why no one would talk against this. No one said no to me. No one gave me counsel why this was a bad idea. And she just, the things that she went through to her body. She said, I kept waiting for that third surgery. I thought, then I'll feel like a man. And she said, I realized I was never going to feel like a man. And so it's just heartbreaking when you go through this. The Lupron was used off-label. That happens quite often. And we can't say it's a causation, but there seems to be a correlation from enough sites out there that if it's true, if it's even half true, why would we be promoting giving this to our minor children in any way? Brittle bones, all the things we're hearing about. But let me come back to this, Ryan. This is what nobody's talking about. I mentioned earlier the numbers skyrocketing of kids who are confused about their gender, their orientation. We have to know that the schools have made it perfectly clear with their drag queen shows, with their books, with their CRT, with their wokeism, that they have every intention of this agenda, this indoctrination. Even after we pass laws, we see them working around those laws. All right, so this is from, I believe this is from, it's called legaljobs.io. Transgender college students have a 5% higher rate of getting raped than other students. Transgender college students, 5% higher rate of getting raped. Bisexual women are more than twice as likely to be victims of rape than straight women. This is from PlainStreetIncorporated.com. One in two transgender Americans will experience sexual violence. 2 in 5 gay men will be sexually assaulted in their lifetime. Alarmingly, 23% of LGBTQ college students have been victims of sexual assault. So why would a school promote this, but why would your city take the unprecedented, unconstitutional action to override our constitutional liberties and freedoms and promote and safeguard something that puts kids in a higher risk bracket for sexual assault, for suicide, for health risks? Is anybody asking your city council members these questions?
Yeah, there have been lots of commentary. Everything we've brought up here pretty much has been discussed in front of the council, and it falls on deaf ears. It's quite sad to see because they're really not addressing any of the root issues. And another thing that I didn't mention is that they are not following their own procedures. They're trying to ram this through without the standard approach of multiple sessions needing to talk it through, letting this be aired out and discussed as needed. And so, but they've made it clear they don't have any interest in actually evaluating this matter on the facts as they stand. What they want to do is push their agenda and continue to keep conflating things and using confusing language and not talk about the real issue at hand. And what they want to do is put the state or the government of, at any level in between parents and their children. And they're trying to usurp that authority, and we can't stand for it. And fortunately, people in this community are speaking up about it very clearly and very precisely, and even holding them to the own oath that they took and holding them to the standards that they're supposed to be following for ordinances and that sort of thing coming in. So our community is very informed and are holding them to account. But unfortunately, they're still moving forward with this ridiculous, unconstitutional action that is really very far outside their duties as city as city councilmen and women.
Yeah, they've truly overstepped. The bad news is, in some of these larger cities, the registration is so democratic that it's hard to get conservatives elected. You say there's one member who is not supporting this, and I don't know if you can all rally around that individual or how you could help out there. But I guess, Ryan, I mean, listen, a quarter of the male victims of sexual assault, and this isn't just LGBTQIAMAPS, this is all males, happened before they were 10 years of age. We hear that with girls as well. Of 25% of male sexual assault victims will experience their first assault before 10. And then and for girls, I think it's 16 and 19, ages 16 and 19, four times more likely than girls and women of any other age group to be assaulted or raped. My point is, these kids need help. They need parents. They need adults who have their back, who have them protected, who they can come to and freely talk about whatever it may be. And for a city council to put a ban on conversation, you're right, Ryan, it's not a conversion ban. It's a conversation ban. It's a conversation ban that should parents should have the freedom to talk. Nobody else. Parents should have the freedom to talk about this very sensitive issue with their kids. Go ahead.
Yeah, and what's interesting is it is not actually banning anything that's happening today, but it's conflating the issue and confusing the issue. And so what I've encouraged, I'm not an attorney and I'm not a medical practitioner either, but I've encouraged everybody to ignore it. Just if it passes and when it passes, just completely ignore it and go about your business and let them bring their unconstitutional issue up if they want to. Our city attorney has already said that he doesn't recommend moving forward with it. It's very likely he would do anything with it. And basically, what would happen? Let's let the chips fall where they fall and pursue and do your duty as a parent, as a counselor, to do what's in the best interest of the patient. And that is to actually talk through issues that are causing anxiety, talk through issues to get to the root cause of something and deal with it, instead of treating a symptom with a solution that's going to have lifelong consequences as well. But, you know, thankfully, we've got medical practitioners speaking up at these council meetings. We've got pastors speaking up at these meetings. We've got parents speaking up at these meetings, old, young, all over the gambit. Everybody is interested in this and standing up for children, as we should.
Logan, Ryan, thank you so much for this. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you for being there and for speaking up yourself. Listen, parents, you have to be ever vigilant, ever diligent, not just in protecting your liberties and your freedoms, but in protecting your children. Have we seen enough now to know they are after our children? They are after the children. They are not just casualties of this. They are the target in this culture war that we're dealing with. Ryan Howard, thank you again. Tell them quickly, how can they find Ryan Howard?
Yep, that's great. Thank you so much. You can go to ryanshoward.com and check me out there. You can get in touch with me easily there, and also the Cutting Edge Faith podcast on YouTube and also all the podcast apps.
Thank you for joining with us. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Everybody out there, it's a matter of prayer and parenting. If we could do that well, we would not have many of the issues we deal with today.
If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe. And you can help spread the word by leaving a 5-star review and sharing it with your friends. Visit ryanshoward.com to learn more about living the intentional, influential, and impactful life you were created for.